It is good to have everyone with us today. The title of today's message is Because He Cares. We serve a Lord that cares for us, and it's important that we realize these things. You know, so often in life we feel like nobody cares, or so often in life we don't give God a chance to show how much compassion that He has for us. So we're going to look at that today. I'm going to begin in Matthew 11, verse 28. And the Scripture says this, "Come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." The Scripture says, "Take My yoke upon you and learn of Me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For My yoke is easy, and My burden is light." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, as we come today, I ask for forgiveness, a daily sin and a weekly sin. And I pray, Lord Jesus, for an anointing of Your Spirit today to share Your truth. Father, I pray to be washed by Your blood. I confess to You in my prayer closet out loud what my sins are. And I name them, because that makes them real, and it keeps me from sweeping them under the rug and not dealing with them. So, Father, I want to thank You that You tell us to come and confess, and that You will help us. So, Father, I ask for forgiveness of sin and a cleansing, to be washed by Your blood now and to be anointed by Your Spirit and filled. And I pray right now that You let everyone in this place know how much You love them, how much You care about them, and how You desire to unburden them. So, Father, I pray right now for the power of Your Holy Spirit to lead and to guide us, and to give us the words that we need to hear, because You care. In Your name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen. All right, Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Jesus says, "Come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Now, that word anapollo, that word rest in the Greek means, it means to cease from, it means to relax, and it means to be refreshed. So, the picture we're getting here is you're carrying burdens. You're carrying all kind of burdens in your life, and you're going uphill. And you've got all this stuff weighing down upon you. And the Lord Jesus says, if you would just come unto Me, I will unburden you. I will join you. I will become in yoke with you. And I will enjoin you, and I will help you carry this load. But there's a condition. And there's a prerequisite. And you say, "Well, what is that?" It is, "Come unto Me." Now I want to show you something else. Go to John chapter 7. Go with me to John chapter 7. Patty and I say all the time, you know, we can't help somebody that doesn't come to us, that doesn't allow us to help them carry the load, to listen to them, to pray with them. You say, "Brother Leo, is that a big deal?" I say, "Well, it's always helped Patty and I to go to people." You know, so I imagine it would help someone to come to us. But you can't help folks if they don't come unto you. In John chapter 7, verse 37, "In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, 'If any man thirst, let him come unto Me and drink.'" Let him come unto Me and drink. "For he that believes on Me, as the Scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." And he's speaking of the Holy Spirit. So he says here, if you come unto Me when you're thirsty, when you're dried up, when you're empty, I will give you the living water, the Holy Spirit, and I will refresh you and renew you. And so he says again, come unto me. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Two things the devil doesn't want. Number one, the devil doesn't want you to get saved. The devil doesn't want you to get saved. So if you've gotten saved, you've already beat the devil in that area. But if you are saved, this is the second thing the devil wants from you. He wants to keep you away from God. You say, wait a minute, brother, look, Jesus is in my heart. I know He's in your heart, but you've got to continually keep coming to Him. He's there, He's waiting, He's inviting. But the devil wants you isolated. The devil wants you at distance from God. The devil don't want you to have prayer time. I challenge you tomorrow morning when you get up, just say, Holy Spirit, lead me to five people to intercede for right now. I just want to intercede for five people. The Lord will bring five people to your mind. You'll say a prayer for them, and you'll get your life headed in the right direction for tomorrow. But the first thing the devil wants you to do when you get up in the morning, and the last thing the devil wants you to do when you get up in the morning, is to think about the Lord Jesus Christ. The last thing he wants you to do is to pray to the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, well, I don't have time. You don't have time to take 30 seconds and pray for five people? I want you to understand, so this is what I do. I'll pick this up in the morning and I'll say this, Lord Jesus, I pray for Mona today that you strengthen her, that you get her through school, that you give her wisdom. Father, I want to thank you for Liz's report last week. I praise God for that healing you worked in her life. Father, be with Tracy and Cleo. Guide them today. Give Cleo strength to minister to this family. Help Tracy in her healing. Lord Jesus, I pray for Wilburn and Jeannie and some of the things they're facing physically. I pray for a healing for Wilburn. Father, I want to thank you for Jody's report for Glenda. Lord, continue to heal Glenda. Don't let this ever come back. And Father, for Patty's dad, I'm praying today for a miracle of salvation. How long did that take? You don't have time to pray? No, I was taught in the church that it's got to be thou and this and thee. My friend, I can do that brushing my teeth. Well, is it that important, brother? Yes, it is. Because if I'm going to be Christ-like, He has one ministry now. Now, at creation, He had a ministry. He created the world. When He came and walked the face of this earth, He had a ministry to save Israel. And then to be the Savior of the world. Die on that cross, rise again. And then He ascended into heaven where He is now. And you know all He's doing right now? You know what His one ministry is? To intercede for you and I. The Hebrew writer says He ever lives to intercede for all of us. And that's how He keeps me saved. That's how He keeps you saved. Because He's forever living to intercede for us. So come unto me. I just started my day brushing my teeth, coming unto Jesus. And then those little things will happen all day long. Mona rides by in the morning, I wave at her. I'm usually out there preaching to the cats, drinking coffee. And the hummingbirds chime in. But the bottom line is this. I realize I have an advantage in that. I do realize that. But you do have 30 seconds to breathe a prayer unto the Lord. So notice what he says. He says, come unto me. In Hebrews chapter 11, did I turn there without telling you to turn there? Okay, Hebrews 11. Matthew 11 says, come unto me. John chapter 7 says, come unto me. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says this, without faith it is impossible to please God. For he that comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Now, what I want you to know, he that comes to God receives, and that word reward means something good and beneficial for your life. But to receive it, you've got to come unto Him. Jesus wants to give to me? Certainly He does, but He says, ask, and you shall receive. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and the door shall be opened. I want to praise God for all the things He does for me just out of the merciful goodness of His heart. But God desires communion, fellowship, and communication with us who He has created. I say, Brother Leo, how do you know that? Because you know what God wanted after He created the Garden of Eden? He wanted to develop a personal relationship with Adam and Eve. You say, well, how do you know that? Because the Bible said every night after supper, he would walk down in the garden, pre-incarnate, and he would talk with Adam and Eve about their day, about the things he had created, about certain animals, about the tree of life, about the river flowing with pure water, and he would commune with them. And so in the personal relationship, the Lord wants us to come to him in fellowship and communion. So the Lord says unto us, come unto me. Come unto me. Now, why does the Lord want you to come unto him? Go to 1 Peter chapter 5. I'll hold my t-shirt up here in a moment. 1 Peter chapter 5, so that you can see this verse. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. Why does the Lord want to be involved in my life? Why does the Lord want me to tell him my problems? Why, I am finding and I'm starting to avoid the generic word prayer. Because we've got all kind of preconceived notions about prayer. And I think when we hear the word prayer, it becomes service or ritual, or it becomes work. And so I don't want to use that word, not that it's a bad word, but it's because the way we think of it. The Lord just wants us to sit and dine with him. Fellowship and commune with him. Sit in his lap and let him hold us. Riding in the car, he wants us talking with him. He wants us to hear his voice. So why does the Lord want me to share my burdens with him? Why does he keep saying, come unto me in Matthew 11, come unto me in John 7, come unto me in Hebrews 11? Because in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, he says, when you come unto me, cast all your care, worry, anxiety, and stress upon me, because I care for you. And there's the title of the message, because he cares. I want you to be able to say right now, my God cares about my life. Would you say that with me? My God cares about my life. How about say it this way? My Jesus cares about my life. Would you say that? My Jesus cares about my life. My Jesus cares about the things that are worrying me right now. My Jesus cares about the things that are stressing me right now. My Jesus cares about the burdens that I'm carrying right now. And my Jesus desires, according to His Word, to do what? Unburden you. Matthew 11 says, I want to take them off of you. 1 Peter 5 says, give them over to me. I'll take them from you. Bro, Lil, I just don't know how to do it. My friend, I don't know how to do it for you. But if you keep going to Him, it'll work. His power. There'll come a day where you just get overwhelmed with the peace. And you know what you'll do? You'll stand up and say, praise God, it's gone. It's gone. He's lifted it. Miraculously. All you've got to do is be obedient. You don't have to figure out the hows. You don't have to figure out the whys. All you got to do is go in that prayer closet tonight or go in there tomorrow morning and say, Lord, I am coming unto you because your word says come unto me. I'm going to tell you what my burdens are. I'm going to tell you what my cares are. And I am expecting with hope for you to lift them things off of me, take them away, and replace them with the thoughts of peace that you have for me. That word, he cares for you. Melei, M-E-L-E-I in the Greek. It means this. It means to have great concern for, to show concerned interest toward, to be deeply concerned for. And then it means this. Empathy. Tenderness. Sweetness. Man, I want to praise God for those people in my life. When I sat down with a tremendous burden in my life, and they just reach over and they'll just pat you on the shoulder and be there for you. They'll just hug you and hold you for a moment. And you feel their empathy and their tenderness and their sweetness and their compassion for you. And I just want to praise God for those people. I can look back over 56 years and 33 years in the ministry, and I can see see that love and compassion and tenderness. And I praise God for those people. But I want to also tell you, that is the relationship I have with my Jesus. There are times I just sit and tears of joy just flow out of my eyes. Sometimes tears of sorrow or tears of uncertainty. But whatever it is, it's a beautiful mixture to know that verse is in there. Jesus Christ is saying, I want you to come unto me because I care for you. I care for you. And He's going to take my anxiety, and He's going to take my worry, and He's going to take my stress. Go to Numbers chapter 6. Go to Numbers chapter 6. And I know we've been on the Aaronic prayer, but let me share it with you again. In Numbers chapter 6, verse 24, it says this: "The Lord bless thee and keep thee." You can pray this over your life, over your children. I'd cross-stitch it. I'd put it in their rooms. I'd have it over their beds. Patty has it in our bathroom, on the mirror. You need to have this kind of stuff. "The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you, and may the Lord give you peace." He's going to take your worry, anxiety, and care away and give you peace. And you go unto Him and say, "I'm coming unto you, and this is what I'm coming for, Lord Jesus." And you got to believe this, and you got to claim this, and you got to understand you are worthy to receive this because He has created you. He has a plan for your life. He died for you. He loves you. Go to Lamentations. It's right after Ezekiel. It's right after Jeremiah. Then we run into Lamentations. Jeremiah wrote both books. And I want to share with you a beautiful passage of Scripture that I've been meditating upon this week. And it's for you. And I mean, if you don't come to the Lord, my friend, you know what those burdens do? They keep building up. You've got to have a release. And you know, that's why Patty and I tell folks to come to us. You know, let us talk to you. Let us pray with you. And let us lead you to share some of these things with Jesus also. But the bottom line, and it helps. You say, I've had folks tell me, they say, "Brother Leo, I just don't want to keep coming to you because I feel like I'm telling you the same thing over and over again." There's great benefit in that. You can tell me the same thing over and over again, and then maybe on the 30th time, something's going to click. Something clicks. And it's the same way with Jesus. I've had folks say, "You know, I feel like I tell the Lord the same thing over and over again." That's okay. On the 30th time, it's going to click. You need to be saying it and then listen to what you're saying to God. Hear yourself, but also hear Him. And keep sharing. Something will click. I promise you. He communes with you in a much more perfect way than I could ever. And you'll get the answer. He's got the answer. Notice what the Scripture says in Lamentations chapter 3, beginning in verse 21. He says this: "This I will recall to my mind, and therefore I have hope." Just stop right there. You know what the devil wants to rob you of? Hope. He wants you to think your life's hopeless. It is not hopeless. He wants you to think a certain situation's hopeless. It is not hopeless. It is not hopeless. My God is able. With God, nothing shall be impossible. These are just not words on a page. This is truth. Now, notice what he says here. "This I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that I am not consumed, because His compassion for me fails not. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness." I pray that prayer all the time. I say, "As the dew is on the grass, Lord Jesus, Your mercies are fresh every morning. Your compassion towards me is fresh every morning." There's not a one of you in here when one of your little grandchildren run up to you that you're not standing there and you go, "Oh my goodness, I got to get away from this child." There's not a one of you in here. Those little children can run up to you and you're going to stoop down and you're going to pick them up and you're going to love on them. And I'm going to sell you something else. Think if they scrape their knee or break their arm and they're crying and they come unto you. What are you going to do? You're going to scoop them up. You're going to hold them. You're going to take care of them. I want to say unto you right now, that's because you're a good, good father. Or you're a good, good mother. Or you're a good, good grandmother or grandfather. Well, I want to say right now, I have a good, good father. You are a good, good father. That's who you are. That's who you are. That's what I'm telling you. This is the character of Christ. And I am loved by you. That's who I am. That's who I am. And therein lies my identity. My identity is not based on success, not worldly success. My identity is not based on worldly riches. My identity is not based on my past. My identity is based on the fact that I am loved by God. And when you draw that into your heart and into your mentality, you're not worried about impressing anybody. You're not worrying about being better than someone in the neighborhood as far as material gains, or in the workplace, or people thinking, oh man, they're something. I just want to know every moment the truth that I am loved by Jesus. And if I hold that truth, everything else is all right. If your child one day goes through some of the most horrific trials and tribulations you can imagine, you just got to keep telling yourself, my child is loved by Jesus. My child is loved by Jesus. I am loved by Jesus. That's the why. Why does He not put more on you than you can bear? Because He cares. Why does He maybe let you get cast down but not forsaken? Because He cares. The Lord cares for you. And notice what He says. Though I'm new every morning, verse 23. Verse 24. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore I will put all my hope in Him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for Him. Here we go. To the soul that seeks Him. Come unto me. Come unto me. Come unto me. You've got to seek the Lord. Let's read more in Jeremiah's writings. Go to Jeremiah 29. Jeremiah 29. Because He cares. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. The Lord says this, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you." Isn't that wonderful? I can remember many years ago when Patty and I were first married. My father was working at the shipyard. I will never forget. You could not call in to where he was because they were secured lines with our nuclear submarines. Funny how I know what a secure line is and presidential candidates or Secretary of State don't. I mean, as a young man, I would call my dad on another line and he would say, "Doyle, code 229, this is a non-secure line." And that way, if someone had called by mistake, they would know they couldn't say certain things because people like my daddy and other people would go to prison if they compromise the secrets of this great country. And when you grow up in a military town, those things hit you. But many years, and Patty never forgot it, Dad picked up the phone and called her at our house in Walterboro. And she answered the phone, and he said, "I just wanted to call and tell you that I love you. I was thinking about you. And I love you." And she has never forgot that. He sends her notes in the mail just to tell her that he loves her. Now, I want you to think about something. Look what I just read, verse 11. I know the thoughts that I think toward you. Doesn't it make you feel good when somebody tells you they're thinking about you? Doesn't it make you feel good? Hey, Mom, I just called to tell you, thank you for all you've ever done for me. I love you, and I was thinking about you. You know, doesn't that make you feel good? Well, I want to say right now, I praise God. There is a God right now who's thinking about you. You're in His mind. You're in His thoughts. How tremendous is that? And Paul tells us that we cannot sum them up. They're more than we can add up. Now, notice what he says. I know the thoughts I think toward you, saith the Lord. They are thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you, and you shall seek me and find. You're going to get the answer. Do you need an answer today? So, something you're struggling with, and you need an answer. Look at what it says. You will seek me and find me when you shall search for me with your whole heart, and I will be found of you, and I'll turn away whatever it is that's bothering you. Well, Bro Leo, what does that mean? Number one, it means focus. But number two, it means this. You got to come to a place in your life where you say, Lord, I'm searching and seeking for you with my whole heart. What does that mean? That I'm giving my heart over. I was sitting back there a moment ago during praise worship. Patty had Proverbs 3 across that desk, and it said this across that table that's going to be taught to her bunch this morning. It says, acknowledge the Lord in all thy ways, and He shall guide you. What that means, when you're searching for the Lord with your whole heart, you're acknowledging His authority, His guidance, His leadership, and above all, His glory for this situation. You say, well, Lord, I'm praying, but I'm not getting the answer. Well, maybe it's because your pride's too much involved in this situation. Maybe your selfishness is too much involved in this situation. Maybe some of the strongholds that are in your life are too much involved in this situation. Again, I say unto you, we're raised in a culture that is so selfish. I told the group Wednesday night, there is no way the people that are living in America today could, number one, survive the depression of the 1920s. No way! What do you mean, Bro Lil? I'm saying this culture is so selfish, so entitled, so used to having everything they want to have and more, there's no way they could turn themselves into the hearts that sacrificed during the Great Depression. They don't have the intestinal fortitude for it. It's all about how much more can I get. Secondly, this culture could never come together the way this country did for World War II in the 1940s, where individuals sacrificed. And individuals put country first. See, we have a real hard time with doing two things, putting God first and putting country first. Yeah, you see, it's me first, and then it's God, and then it's country, or it's me first, and forget about God, and forget about country. I shared Wednesday night, I read an amazing statistic given to us by HUD, or Housing and Urban Development, the federal agency, that the poverty line now no longer is calculated by a two-parent household. It's now calculated by a one-parent household. Because that's what these people want you to believe. Everything's normal. Well, everything may be normal now in this culture, but it's not natural. Natural is the way we've been created by God. And we've been created by God to have a mom and a dad. But anyway, now it is calculated by a one-parent household with two children. You know what the poverty level now is? It's 49. If you're below $49,000 a year, you are in poverty. And that's what they're telling these people. We've got people rioting in the streets of Charlotte, Baltimore, God knows where else, because the world's just not working out for these people, and they're in poverty, and they got $200 Air Jordan shoes on. That's what I notice on the news. I'll say, Patty, look at those shoes. I'll freeze it.
And I said, it's 2 o'clock in the morning. They got the Air Jordans on. They know they never have a job. So don't tell me these people are in poverty. I know how every shoe I've ever bought in my life does not total $200. And I'm talking about aside from cleats and athletic things, but it wouldn't even total. So we live in a society and in a culture that is so me first, and it comes into the church. And you're not going to get your prayers, you're not going to get answers from God with this kind of mentality. You've got, look at what he says in verse 14, "And I will be found of you when you seek me and you search for me with your whole heart." As long as you're seeking God and searching for God for a benefit for you in some pride manner, God ain't going to answer that prayer. And the one thing about it is this. You say, "Well, Brother Leo, I'm ready for this trial to get over." Most of the trials that have come into my life have been for the purpose of humbling me. Of humbling me. Of realigning my priorities. Of getting me to see what really is important in life. Look at what he says in verse 11. "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, they are thoughts of peace." Hold on to that word, peace. Just hold on to it. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Then I'm going to close out with two verses. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. First Corinthians chapter 14, verse 33 says this, "For God is not the source of confusion, God is the source of peace." God is not the source of confusion, God is the source of peace. I want you to understand, if there's something going on in your life today, you need to go unto the Lord with it and say, "Lord, this thing's causing confusion in my life. I know this is not your will for me. So show me. Is it me that needs to change? Is it the circumstances that need to change? Is it other people that need to change? Well, I can't change them, Lord. You've got to change them. But there's only two things I can control. Me, whatever it is you're trying to work in my life, and how I continue or discontinue or change or move in another direction." God is not the source of confusion. You know, we started studying many weeks ago, when you pray in the will of God, you can guarantee that prayer is going to be answered. So, it's easy for me. I came to a place in 1994. I felt like I was in confusion. I felt like I was in misery. I felt like I couldn't do what God had called me to do. So, I said, "Patty, I don't know where we're going, what we're going to do." "Well, Bro Will, I had a 1-year-old boy. I had house payments. It cost me $2,000 a year just to live in the place I was living. Not the house, the community. Paying for guards that somehow Margie broke through the place and got to me, Lehman. I'm coming in from fishing one day and Patty comes out and says, some lady from Wayne County, Tennessee is crying in our front porch saying they need a preacher. I said, "Patty, they got a preacher." But you know what I wanted? I wanted peace. I had a guy tell me one time, he said, "You know, the one thing that key," and he was a school teacher and he had retired. He retired early. He was an ag teacher in our town. And he farmed. And he said, "You know, the one thing that keeps people from having freedom?" I said, "What's that?" He says, "Security." He said, "People sell their freedom for security. Sell their peace out for security." You say, "What do you mean by that?" Because the one thought I had when I was leaving the traditional ministry was,
was the package. You know, the salary, the housing allowance, the car allowance, the retirement, the health insurance being paid. And so I'm thinking about all these things, and I'm saying, I can't leave this. And the whole time, God's saying, you got to step out, man. You're going to die if you don't step out. You're going to die if you don't step out. And I stepped out, not knowing where I was going. Not knowing God was calling me to a land I had never heard of. Abraham. Yeah. All I knew was Ed Gardner had to have a huge church in Wayne County, Tennessee, if he was bringing Leo Doyle in from Brevard, North Carolina, to do a revival, and he was bringing in my other buddy from Savannah, Georgia, to do the music. And then when I got there, I said, so how you like, are you a Braves fan? And he looks at me. I said, you're from Savannah, Georgia, right? No, I'm from Savannah, Tennessee. I said, I didn't even know there was a Savannah, Tennessee. But I just praise God for the freedom. We come in here on Sunday morning, we got freedom. We can go home and live our lives and we can have freedom. God wants you to have peace and not confusion and not burdens. And He cares for you intimately. Let me close with two verses. Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. I want to show you, because He cares for you, and you need to read this. That's another thing. The Lord, the devil does not want you praying for five people tomorrow morning, and he doesn't want you reading five verses of Scripture. Because he knows God will speak to you and encourage. So two things he wants. He wants your Bible closed, and he wants your mouth shut when it comes to communing with God. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 30, look what Jesus says. The very hairs of your head are all numbered. What does that mean, brother? That means God cares about you in the most intimate of details. The most intimate of details. And then he says this in verse 29, are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall on the ground without the good Lord Jesus noticing that it happened. And you, the very hairs on your head are numbered, so you have nothing to fear because you are of much more value to God than the sparrows are. So you don't stump a toe, Jesus doesn't notice. You don't cry a tear, Jesus doesn't notice. Go with me to Psalm 56, and I close with this. And you need to read these things. I realize I'm reading them to you today, but you need to get in there and dig these things out. Because if you don't, the devil's going to be telling you lies all the time. The devil cannot lie to you when you're in the Word of God, because you're getting the Word in there and he's running out the lies of the devil. For 33 years, all I've taught is the personal relationship people are to have with Jesus. All Patty teaches in the back is having a personal quiet time and devotional with Jesus. I said, we've lost this generation. They were raised in religion. But I tell her, you can stress to those young people that they're going to have to make time from this day forward to get alone with Jesus. 30 minutes in the morning or the evening or whatever. And so you know what those kids do when they come in there on a Sunday morning? They go around that table and they share a devotional that they read that week and what it meant to them. And what they got out of it. And each one of them speaks about something they read. I wonder if we could do that in here. And we wonder why our life's where it is. Psalm 56. God cares for you. Verse 8. You tell my wanderings, O Lord. You put my tears in your bottle. Are they not in thy book? And you say, what book is that? There's a handful of books referred to in the Bible. One of them is the Book of Remembrance. That's the book that's being spoken of. Your life is recorded in a book in heaven. Because God cares about you.
And every tear you cry, He's got in a bottle of remembrance. That's how much He cares for you. And notice what He says. When I cry unto you, then shall my enemies turn back. For this I know, God is on my side. Would you say that with me? God is on my side. God is for me. Would you say that with me? God is for me. Man, you got to understand that. Let me tell you something. Somebody may break into my house, steal everything I've got, beat me up, throw me out in the yard. I'd rather be the one living for Jesus than the one doing those evil things. So don't ever worry about those people that are doing evil things. They're doing the things that are wrong. You stay and do the things that are of God because God is for you and He notices everything. There have been in Psalm 50, there's one little phrase that I grabbed when we were going through some difficult times, and it was this phrase. It says, God is the only judge. Man might think he's got something, but God is the only judge. And you put your life into the hands of the righteous judge. But notice what he goes on to say. God is for me. In God I will praise His word. In the Lord I will praise His word. In God I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. You need to read these things, man. You can see my fingerprints. And some of it's dirt, but you can see my fingerprints in certain areas of the Psalms that if I didn't have them, I could not live. And I read them out loud. Look at what he says. And God, I will not be afraid about this man-made situation. And then look at this. The vows of God are upon me. The promises and vows and covenants of God for protection are upon me and my family, O God. I will render praises unto you because you have delivered my soul from death. You've saved me eternally. Will you not deliver my feet from falling in this life that I may walk before God in the light of the living? If He's taking care of all my eternal problems by saving my soul, can He not take care of my temporal problems? And so that boosts, man, your faith and the energy and the focus of your prayers. Go to Romans 8. I've got one more I'll give you. Go to Romans 8. Because He cares. Well, how much does He care, Brother Will? Well, He cares this much. Romans chapter 8, verse 31. And this goes along with what I just read. Romans chapter 8, verse 31. It says this, "What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? If God be for me, who can be..." Sometimes we act like these people are stronger than God. Sometimes we act like these situations God can't handle. My friend, God can handle them all. Faith. It's all about faith. Having that faith. Well, real little, how do you get that? You get that faith by being in the Word and being in prayer. There's only two ways you strengthen your faith. The only way I can get stronger physically is to go in there and do that bench press, do those curls, whatever it is. That's the only way you get stronger. You don't get stronger by not going in there. And that's the only way you strengthen your faith. Spiritually. Look at what it says. Romans 8. "He that spared not His own Son," verse 32, "but delivered Him up for us all on the cross, greater love hath no man than this, and He would give His life for us, shall He not with Him also freely give us all things that we need?" If He didn't hold back His own life, He's going to give you everything you need. His mercies are fresh and they're tender every morning. I'm going to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes for a time of prayer.